have Miranda come up. Miranda.
Yeah, the real young one. We're going to have Erin come up, and she's going to sing this evening.
Hide in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
All right, amen. Tonight and tonight only, you are allowed to clap, all right, just so you know that. Okay, Ken's father family has a song to sing. Are we singing here or mixed? Do we need two mics? Okay.
Positioning ourselves.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain.
Yeah.
we'll mix this up a little bit. Diana Loy has something for us this evening. You're not. We're going to have to move the mic down there then.
Since I can't sing or do anything else, I copied a little sheet and it's Christ's bell. And it's in the shape of a bell and it's verses from the Bible. And I'd like everybody to have a copy.
The nice thing about doing this is I can get mine out of the way to eat early. Tanya, come on up, please. Are you doing an a cappella? Okay. This is a tune you'll recognize from another hymn, but the words are the words of Charles Wesley. And they were put to this song before what we've commonly heard this song and its words put to. At the beginning. Wherever I find one. Okay. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Alexis, are you
you going to play or sing or one or the
play?
Okay. Introduction to this? Okay. So they know what's coming.
No, don't preach. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The birth of Christ was not only to affect those shepherds that night, not only the nation of Israel in the days ahead, but looking through the centuries of time, the Bible says, good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And the Bible also says in Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It also says in chapter 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And so thinking about that thought of all kindreds, peoples, and tongues, I'm going to try to attempt to sing a song here in three languages. The first verse will be in English, which most of us know. The second verse will be in Lingala, and the third in French.
Keep me up there.
Sounded French. If he made all that up, who would have known it? All right. Thank you, Matt. That's a blessing. All right. The Kinsfather girls are going to come and sing. Speaking of languages here. You all at the mic?
No, it's Latin. Teaching my family to sing, we sing a lot of rounds, and because it tunes your ear to sing parts. And this has always been one of my favorite rounds. It's very old, from about the 16th century. And Pastor was preaching the other day on peace, and Dona Nobis Pacem means grant unto us peace.
Dona nobis pacem, pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem.
Got a piano song for us tonight. Thank you.
It's always easier at home than it is in front of everybody else. All right, now your dad's going to come and play piano, so don't. The Westover family is going to come up and sing.
When you try to get up in front of somebody and play something or sing something, trying to do something for the Lord, and the flesh is always a hindrance, and it takes a wise man to be able to see it, humility to be able to see it. But I always kind of rejoice when I see somebody really struggle to get up in front of somebody to do something, whether they struggle with the electronics, they forget the lyrics, or they just can't play what they're trying to play. And I always rejoice in one thing, because anytime I see somebody do that and they stick with it and they make it through the end, because I don't think I have that in me, I'll be honest. If I get up there and struggle, I would lose it and I'm done. So it's a blessing to me to see anybody. When they struggle and make mistakes, and sometimes you do, and there's no excuse, you just made a mistake, but you're stuck with it.
That's right.
Now, my song isn't a Christmas song, but it's about my Savior, and so I hope you'll take it just like it is. This song's called Nail It to the Cross.
Nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross.
looking around because there's other people signed up that didn't show up. All right. Okay. He's making sure. Don't want to bypass anybody there. At this time, we are going to take our Wednesday evening offering. You didn't think you'd get out without an offering, did you? And so we'll take our Wednesday evening offering. And let's have Tanner and John, our two visitors and guests, take the offering tonight. Tanner, lead us in prayer, please.
Dear Lord, thank you for this night, Lord, for allowing us to come here, Lord, and worship you, Lord. And thank you for this season, Lord, and for coming and being born of a virgin, Lord, and coming to die to save our sins, Lord. Thank you for all you did, Lord. You gave all and took nothing from us, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Bless this offering, Lord. Pray that you help Brother Leaf as he leaves in January, Lord. Pray that you help Stephen Moore. Pray that you help all the men that be traveling back home, Lord, and our family. Thank you for giving us this church to come to tonight, Lord. And bless all the people that will be traveling, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. To take your Bible for just a few minutes, if you would. I wasn't sure we'd have time for this, but it looks like we do, and we'll make time for it anyways. Look in two places that you're familiar with, Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. I always get a blessing out of how the Lord arranges things. By that I simply mean I finished my Bible through a few days ago, and so I'm reading right now in Genesis and Matthew. And I just read in Matthew, and I just read Matthew chapter 2 the other evening, and as I was reading it, something stood out to me. Not anything new, but something that I've known, but I just thought, well, if opportunity presents itself Wednesday night, we'll just look at that. I want to think of this thought. Christmas morning, when Christ was born, who was there? Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, of course, we have the birth of Christ. And we'll not read the beginning of it. You know the beginning story of Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem because of the reason of taxation. But I want you to, we pick up the story in verse number 8. And I want you to notice in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and it says that that day they were in the same country. Now that's important. And again, the Bible is just so wonderfully clear and so precise and tells you exactly what you need to know. They were in the same country, all right, while Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem. They're in that same area. Now, in the same country, it doesn't mean East Coast to West Coast, but it means in that same spot right there, in that same area, that we're in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So obviously they're outside of town, but they're right there at Bethlehem. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, all right, so this is happening the day that Christ is born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All right, we know by that account then that not only are Mary and Joseph going to be there in the manger, but the shepherds will be there also. Because it said there's born this day, and when you get there, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, manger is not, it was a stall, as it were. It was a animal pen that they were born in. The manger, obviously, is that little thing made out of wood that they laid the baby in. All right, that is what the manger is. We talk about a manger scene. Sometimes we get in our mind, well, that whole background, the roof and all that around it, that's the manger. No, the manger is simply the thing that contained the body of the baby. That little crib is called a manger, not the whole thing itself. And so when these shepherds got there, according to the words of the angels, that babe had just been born that day and was laying in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. All right, it's very clear by the account here. They're outside of on the outskirts of town, watching over their flocks by night. The angels appear. They say, get in there, and they make haste, it says in verse 16. They go now, and they get down there, and there's Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now look back at Matthew chapter 2. I don't say this to stir up anything. I say this to biblically educate ourselves. This is not something to make a big deal about. You don't want to go sue Kmart for false representation. You see the manger scenes they put out there, and there's Joseph and Mary and the three wise men. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But the wise men weren't there. And it's not because the Baptists don't think they were there. It's not because, we want to grind an axe or make a point out of it. I really don't care. And, one fellow and I were discussing this a few years ago, and he just found out. He was in Sunday school. Somebody had a curriculum they were using, and they read, and they said, and the wise men were not there. And they just went right on, and the fellow said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And they said, what? And he said, what you just read, the wise men weren't there. And they said, well, no, that's what the curriculum said. That's all they knew. So what the curriculum said, it wasn't there. So he asked me, well, next time he saw me, he said, were the wise men there? And I answered his question, and it just blew his mind. I mean, he's 48 years old. And he said, I've never in my life heard the wise men weren't there. Go to Kmart. The wise men are there. And he said he was going to go down to Walmart and file suit against them for false representation, because he would go down there and buy the wise men thinking they belong there, and they didn't belong there. And again, this isn't a point of contention. It's not a big deal. But simply that you and I understand that God tells us everything we need to know. And the Bible is wonderfully clear if we simply read it. And notice in Matthew chapter 2, now we're talking about the wise men in verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we knew that, in the days of Herod, the wise men, Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the earth east to Jerusalem. All right? Jesus was born at the end of chapter 1. In chapter 2, he's born in Bethlehem. The wise men are that day arriving in Jerusalem. There's a great distance between Jerusalem
and Bethlehem. They're at Jerusalem talking to Herod the day that Christ is born. Because it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Sorry, they're not there that night. They're in Jerusalem looking for him. If you notice, and I already turned from Luke, one thing that's key there in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 12, ye shall find a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe. It's a good thing to circle that if you're interested in this thing. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then again in verse number 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When Christ was born, the day he was born, the Bible refers to him as a baby. All right? When we get to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to notice a difference. All right? The wise men arrive at Jerusalem while Jesus is born that day in Bethlehem. So they're not there when it happens. They say to Herod in verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. They started following the star some time ago. But they still haven't gotten to Bethlehem yet the day Christ was born. All right, so the question is, when did they get there? Well, you know the story. You know, Herod says, where gathers all the chief priests and the wise men together. Where does it say this king of the Jews would be born? And they look back at Micah chapter 5 and they say, well, in Bethlehem of Judah. That's where he's going to be born. And so he says to them in verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for thee. And here's our other key. Young child. He's not a baby anymore. Now he's a young child. The Bible doesn't just accidentally use a different phrase for it. God intentionally uses the exact words he wants to use. It's no longer a babe, it's now a young child. And he says, search diligently for the young child, and when you've found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. You know the trickery that he was up to when he did that. He didn't want to worship him, he wanted to slay him. He was the king of the Jews, he was a threat to Herod. So he told the wise men, you go find him. When you found him, tell me where he is so I can come and worship him. Verse number 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. They're making their journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And it says again in verse 9, young child. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Notice verse 11. When they were come to what? The house. They're not in a manger anymore. Joseph has gotten a place for his family to dwell in. As a good head of a household, he's not raising his family now in a stall. He's raised them in a house. So this is not Jesus the night born in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes when the wise men get there. You might notice this. It also does not number the wise men. It doesn't tell us there were three of them. Now, if people say there were three, that's fine. You can't say they're wrong. You just can't say they're right, because it doesn't tell us. There were three gifts that they gave. Therefore, people assume that there were three people that came. Well, maybe one of them showed up without a gift. I don't know. But they came there. And when they were come into the house, in verse 11, they saw the young child. This is the third time in Matthew chapter 2 that Christ is described on this day as a young child. Notice down in verse number 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child, all right? He's no longer a babe in a manger. He's a young child in a house. And he says, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child the fifth time to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child the sixth time and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Joseph found a household. He moved his family into there. The wise men finally showed up. How old was Jesus? He wasn't a babe. He was under 2 years old. We know that, but we don't know how old he was. He said, how do you know he's under two? Well, look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Right, when they didn't come back and tell him, here's where he is, you can go worship him, his motive again was to eliminate him, not to worship him. When the wise men were informed by God not to go back, then he sent his soldiers in there and he said, kill every child, all the children in Bethlehem, in verse 16, in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. He wasn't three, he wasn't four, but he was under two. He wasn't a babe, But it wasn't the night in the manger. Say, how old was he? 1 to 2 years old. Doesn't really, but he said, under the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So who was there that night? It was Joseph, it was Mary, it was the Christ child. Of course, here in Cambridge, the Christ child is missing. If you read the paper, somebody stole the baby Jesus out of the manger scene up at the courthouse. What a silly thing. They've taken the mannequin, now they took the Christ child out of there. There's no telling who's going to disappear next. Don't stand still downtown. That's the only words I could. One of those horses stops for too long, it's gone. All right? But who was there that night? There was, I don't mean, that's a crime, understand. I'm not trying to make light of it in that way, but if that's the worst crimes we have in this town, we're in good shape. But there was Jesus, there was Joseph, there was Mary, there was the shepherds, but there were no wise men. And again, that's not something to make a big deal about with, to go and argue with somebody. It's just simply to know, hey, I know what the Bible says. I like reading the Bible because the Bible informs us on the things that we need to know. It keeps us from tradition. It keeps us, if there are traditions that do not contradict the Bible, help yourself. It doesn't really matter. But when they say, well, this is the way it was, and the Bible says, no, this is the way it was, it's not like it's up for a vote. It's not like you've got a choice in the matter. If God says, here's how it is, if we're talking about creation, no matter what we're talking about, when God says simply, and again, His Word just lays it out so simply and clearly. All these folks just say, well, that book's hard to understand. You're nuts. You're echoing what you heard somebody else say, and it gives you an excuse not to read it. Because the Bible is, God made it simple and made it clear so we could understand it, and He even uses little phrases. He just throw things in here and there. And that nugget came from the English language. And God just puts it all right there so you can get exactly what you... Who was there that night? The shepherds were there. The wise men weren't. They showed up later. I'll tell you their names. No, I won't get into that. But they weren't there that night, but they came later. But they came to worship Him. Herod didn't. And the thing to do now is worship. Instead of getting an argument with somebody about whether the wise men were there, say, what did the wise men come to do? They came to give Him presents. No, they came to worship Him. And that's what you ought to do too. And that's what everybody ought to do this time of season. They ought to worship Him. All right, this time, Brother Jay's going to come and the choir's going to come, I believe.
I got that out and I looked up the word adore, and I want to share this with you. It said to worship with profound reverence, to address with exalted thoughts by prayer and thanksgiving, to pay divine honors to honor as a God or as divine, the second meaning, to love in the highest degree, to regard with the utmost esteem, affection, and respect. That touched my heart. Christ,
to be dismissed in prayer this evening. Our Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for this season. Lord, because of what it represents. Father, the birth, the entrance of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Come to this world, Father, not just to be born, but, Father, to bear our sins in his body on that tree. Lord, we're thankful that he was willing to come. Father, we're thankful that he was willing to take that cup and not have it pass from him. Father, we're thankful that when he died on that cross, he died for every person's sins. And that, Father, he has made salvation possible to everyone that believeth. And Lord, I pray this evening that all of us would rejoice in this season. Father, make it a wonderful opportunity, a big door as we meet with family members and friends that are without Christ. Lord, give us the thought of this very thing to help to give our word of testimony to those that they might understand the reason for his coming. Father, may we with expectation look for his soon return. Lord, we're thankful he came the first time, meek and lowly. But God, we're looking for him to come the second time, glorious in all of his splendor. Father, I pray it might even be tonight. Lord, I pray your blessing on us as we dismiss. Give everybody a good day in the next few days here with family and with friends. Lord, bring us back again on Sunday rejoicing in the things of God. Thank you for the service tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.